media, and then I could start to work more and more with that. So then I started to play less bass, and now I play no bass at all, and just do the record music and produce music instead.
What instruments do you play?
I play a couple of instruments, but when I write all the songs, then I do it on the piano most of the time. But like my main instrument is double bass still. But it's these days I play more piano, I would say.
And now, if you say, okay, let's record an album, how is the recording or the producing progress of this album? First, you write, you just write the music, or
I usually write, like, if it's for an album, I try to write, let's say it's 10 songs done and end up on an album. I try to do at least 15 or 20 songs, because I know that some of them will not be as good as the rest. And then also leave some free time in the studio to, like, oh, let's just record a groove or something like that. And then sometimes it's very well organized. Like, I know it will be a string part over this, and over this I know it will be a flute thing. But and there are also some cases where I've just recorded bass and drums, and then I've recorded, like, a lot of instruments over that. So it depends.
Like with all dots.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially with the strings, I always do that as an overdub, because it's too expensive to sit with a drum and bass and guitar plus 16 players of violin. Then you have to do it, you have to record everything on in 2 hours or something. So it's you have to do that as an overdub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you already mentioned instrumental music. Do you only play, or I don't know, I've listened to some records that are connected with your other name, and I think it's mainly instrumental music.
Yeah.
Are you just, like, into instrumental music, or?
I would love to do other music as well, or like do music with singing on. I would really like to do something with that. But for me, I never, like, written music. I have never written lyrics, and so it's maybe I would do it in the collab with some artist or something like that. But I would really like to do that, but I didn't have the opportunity yet to do it, but I would really like to do it. I like that type of music myself when I listen to records and stuff. But it's mainly because I don't sing that good myself, and I never written music with lyrics, so it's a step away all the time. Yeah.
And as I understood right, your fourth album is already recorded.
Yeah, it's
Well, what's it going to be?
it's I would say it's more of a jazz album. It's a collection of jazz tracks, and especially the B-sides are jazz ballads, the whole B-side. And the A-side is maybe a bit more. The whole record is pretty laid back, and it's I would say, as a general describe word, I would say jazz, pretty laid back jazz. Yeah.
You recorded a 45, or released a 45 Jazz at Night.
Yeah.
Is it into this direction?
Yeah, exactly. And it includes two of those songs as well.
Okay.
Yeah, those two songs are included on this upcoming album.
Okay. Yeah.
So, what instrumentation does it have?
It goes from solo piano on one track until like Rhodes Trio. It goes to huge string orchestra on one track, and it includes a couple of more obscure flute things that might sound a bit different.
Yeah.
It's
On this 45 there's flutes as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that's a straight up regular flute. But on this there are especially one song with a bass double bass recorder. So it's a very low flute.
Mm-hmm.
It includes that, and it's a couple of different songs. But I would say, like in general, it's like quintet with some strings and some choirs in on some songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a jazz record.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I forgot to ask, the first record, I would say that you became famous with it, with the Doku Cicecleri, where you released just 300 records and everybody on the whole world was searching for it and paying big prices. And then you released it as well as Flowers of the East.
Eastern Flowers.
Yeah. Or Eastern Flowers, yeah. And it was like pressed in bigger quantities, and I don't know, are those quantities unlimited, or like every time somebody orders you press some, or how does this work?
This is something you should ask John about.
It's not a limit on that. I mean, every time we make an order we need to specify a limit.
Yeah.
But we can't order 5 copies if somebody wants 5 copies. So if some, we have a demand for 500 copies, we might make a new run of 500 copies, and we keep that going. But there's no point making less than 500 copies, for example.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we just had a new pressing coming in about that amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think it's if there's a demand for the record at this point, I don't see why we should keep it in print.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the first 45s you have released with Mr. Bongo, I think they were unlimited as well, or they are not so rare. But your piano 45s, they are sold for bigger prices already. Are they limited, or to how many pieces are they limited?
They are definitely limited in that extent. We won't repress them for now, at least. we don't really see a point of doing that, especially financially, since they cost the same as making an LP, and it's just like nice to keep things going, but it's break even for us, while making LPs is more sustainable financially. I mean, otherwise so that's the reason why we don't make 45s in bigger quantities as well, because it's impossible to distribute them and it's impossible to sell them in bigger quantities. We tried with Sunkist and it ended up pretty messy, so we're keeping them in somehow a manageable quantity.
So how many 45s did you press of each?
I don't like to say exactly how much it is, because then it means it's like speculating here and there. So we're trying to, it depends. It's been various, I mean, plus minus 1,000 on each.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, just to have a number, I don't know. Yeah.
No, we don't want to sell our records because they're limited, for example. That's not the purpose. We didn't do that with the first record or anything. I don't want to get into that rabbit hole specifically. I know that, of course, there is people who might say that we're doing that anyways, but I don't want to say, here's a new release, it's only available in 500 copies, buy it now or never. Mm-hmm. We say, here's a new release, buy it if you're interested. Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah.
It might be available for a long time or might not, but we don't want to sell it only because it's limited.
Yeah.
But some records, it's impossible to keep them in print, like the 45s. There's really no point. Yeah. But the albums, now we open the gates, and it's no point stopping unless if the market is all fed.
Yeah, the 45s, they are. I'm always like, I get the email from you, from Piano Piano, that something is new is released, and I order it right away. And it's not the cheapest 45s that I buy, but still I really like it. They are really well done with this. I like the cover, like the art, how the cover is made and everything. And it's, yeah.
It's difficult to do it on 45. We tried to figure out a good format of making it, and then Timion suggested this tip-on 45 sleeves. I mean, they're a bit oversized and they're difficult to handle because they're not the standard 45 size. I mean, they're slightly bigger than the usual one, but they look much nicer. But the problem is, it's the same price as making LP. So it's they're really expensive to make and heavy to ship as well, but we do like the quality and the way they look and feel, and we will continue to do like releases that doesn't necessarily fit on albums that we can just do like two tracks, drop them off, not put so much work into it. It's not like 1 year of hard work and PR or whatever it is. We can just print an amount of copies and send out a newsletter and ship them from our office.
I appreciate it. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it.
Okay. Now when you talked about your new record, do you want to say the name already from the record?
It's not settled.
It's not settled yet.
We're still working on it.
Okay, yeah.
So the record is finished, but the artwork and the title is not to be announced yet.
Yeah. Almost ready.
Almost ready. Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
John has to draw another picture for the
exactly
cover.
Title. So yes, that's coming soon. So I'm usually taking care of that part while Sven is doing the music, where he's passing on the ball to each other, and I'm taking care of the titles and the artwork.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
We talked about that today as well, that for the albums we want to, like, Jonas made this like really intense paintings for every. And that takes a lot of time, and it takes a couple of attempts to reach the correct result.
Mm-hmm.
And but we want to keep that doing that, because it feels like it's a nice like finish, like when you get that cover that you really. Mm-hmm. Then you can feel 100% satisfied with the result afterwards. So. But it's a hard job to paint it from the beginning. We'll see what he comes up with.
I can imagine. And the piano tracks that you mentioned on this album, is it you playing?
Not on this one, no.
No.
No. It's a dear friend of mine who plays on this record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did I forget to ask you something from your point of view?
You did a great job.
Yeah. Is there something that you would like to say to our listeners?
Thanks for listening. So. I'm very happy, and I'm so happy that you got all the records and that we made this interview. It was a very nice talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. We will do a special in our radio show and play some Sven Wunder music. I don't know, maybe it takes us 2 hours, or I don't know. We have our radio show is always during like 4 hours.
Okay.
So we have time. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
So I think we will play all your 45s and records and whatever. Yeah.
It would be an honor. Yeah. Lovely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you very much. Thanks to John and to Sven for this time.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks
You're
a
welcome.
Lot.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Sven Wunder on Universal. We've heard the entire interview that I've recorded in Stockholm in April 2023, 2.5 weeks ago, I would say. Yeah, not so long ago. And Cezi, you've heard it for the first time. Was it interesting? I don't know.
I would listen to like every interview of people who make music I like this, but in the end I was thinking like the same, what did he really said? And it's not a lot. I mean, it's not a lot of information. It's kind of through the whole process. Like he does the records, how he puts the songs together, but it's not very, very deep how he works. He likes to be a little bit a mysterious guy, and he doesn't like to talk a lot about how he does things, and he's also not showing off. That's a very nice side of him. But he doesn't like to tell everybody, look, I do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole writing process, he just says, yes, I write the songs. But at one point he said that he prepares like the basics of the tracks, and then musicians can come into the studio and play these basics again, and then somebody else maybe adds overdubs, solos and stuff like this. But it's also not like he doesn't say, hey, look, I put that basic together. I work with paper and pencil and write the notes. And on the piano, he says that he composes on the piano, but how he puts the basics together. Well, he's like, he didn't told a lot how he
But somehow for us as record collectors, I think that we did get a lot of background information to the records that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for me, it means a lot. Somehow it was always like when he was mentioning some credits, it was always like some friends of him, and he never said a name.
it's always very close friends.
Yeah.
But that's quite the same thing I said before.
After the interview, we were talking a bit more, and maybe I can say that a lot of musicians that he works with, or the basic setup from his musicians that he uses, they are in this band called Dina Ögon.
Mm-hmm.
And he works a lot with them. And John mentioned then that we were talking about other music as well, Deptone, Penrose Records, and then I said that we had an interview with Misha Panfilov, and John said, oh yeah, he played on two tunes on the first album from Sven Wunder.
Okay.
So I know a little bit of the the credits.
Yeah, that's cool.
But it's still it's a bit, I think. Yeah, it has to stay a bit mysterious.
Yeah, and I think it's nothing wrong about it, because it's about the music in the end, and it doesn't matter who played it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting for us, but in the end, you have to listen to it, mm-hmm. and you have to like it, and that's it's about. It's not.
Of course, for me, it was like in the evening. I had so many questions in mind that I didn't ask. You know, that's always that's happening always at interviews, but. But still, I enjoyed it, and I think that we did get a lot of background information. And after that, we talked a bit. John was explaining me that he's restoring the covers for the Sonor music editions.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so kind, and he gave me a reissue of one record.
Oh, nice.
And he showed me the original record as well, which is, it is quite rare, the original record. And so that I could compare the cover and whatever. And it's called Musica di Rino De Filippi nel mondo del lavoro. And afterwards I'm going to play a tune from this record, of course.
But he restores the covers like graphically, that's what he does. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, because he is actually a graphic designer,
mm-hmm. okay.
and a music lover or music musician or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's a graphic guy, and I think that he scans these covers and he restores them so that they look more or less original.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I like the Sonor Music Editions records, because they are, the backside of this record looks almost the same like as the original, only that it's mentioned that it's by Sonor Music printed, but otherwise the back side of this cover looks original, so I really like it. It's really well done.
It's nice. Cool.
I think that I'm going to play some more Sven Wunder music.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could play all the 45s in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I have like 10 45s, but one is double because I have it in black and colored version.
That doesn't make a lot of difference if you hear it.
I would say that I have 9 45s from Sven Wunder. Mm-hmm. 3 45s, they are excerpts from albums.
Yeah.
Released on Mr. Bongo Records, and the other piano 45s, they are tracks that are not on albums.
Oh, not yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said something about one.
Yeah, the on the newest record there are like three tracks that were already released on 45s, but on the other albums or the other 45s, they are not on these albums yet. So yeah.
Nice.
And I've chosen the first 45 on piano records. Oh yeah, that's another thing that I had that I would like to mention, that if you look on Discogs under Sven Wunder, then you see the 45s that were released. There are three from Mr. Pongo and the piano, they are called PP 2001, 2002, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, but the 2003 is missing. And John showed me this 45, it was already pressed, but not released, because they had like a collaboration and something didn't work, whatever. And he showed me this 45, one tune. It's another version from the Natura Morta album. Mm-hmm. It's another version of a song from this album. And the B-side, a hard number.